thank Christina for reading God's precious word this morning. We also thank our brother Paul Hanna. Paul is a third year theological student from our Ballinahinch congregation. We thank him for leading in this meeting this morning. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer before the Lord, seeking the Lord's face in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for thy wonderful goodness towards each one of us. We thank thee for this, thy house. And we thank thee for this gathering. We pray that you will bless us as we commune with thee. Undertake for the rest of this meeting. We thank thee, Father, that we can read the word of God that is before us. We thank thee that thou hast given us understanding of such things. We pray that you will bless us as we preach thy word. Help these stumbling lips as we bring thy word, we pray thee. Undertake for both preacher and hearer alike. Stand at my elbow. Be my mouth, a matter and wisdom. And be our guard this day. Bless us, we pray thee. Undertake and be our guide, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is a psalm of David that is before us. And David had been in a difficult situation. One that had been a trial to him. One that had been, sure, a trouble in his life. It looked upon the outward appearance that everything in his life had become very bleak. Yet David's desire was something of the Lord. His desire was, in time of testing, truly extraordinary. And I believe in this passage of Scripture which we have before us, it is something that serves us as a helpful reminder that we should go on with the Lord. We should be a people serving the Lord with all of our hearts. Psalmist here requests of God that God would give him spiritual mercies. Yes, he had been looking at other things, but he had been reminded of God that he should look away from the temporal things of the world. But he was reminded to look upon the things of God. The praising of God is a prominent theme throughout this whole passage of Scripture which Christina was able to read. And I was reading here, before I came today, I was reading Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry brought up some interesting things on it. He sort of went a certain way then. He changed his mind and went another way and brought it together, but in the very end. I'm going to read what Matthew Henry said. He said, some think David penned this psalm before coming to the throne of God, throne in Israel. When he was in the midst of all his troubles, and perhaps it was an occasion when his parents had just died. But others, Jews, also think that it was when he was old. When he had been under the torrential hardship and seen the great deliverance of God through the sword of the giant of Abishai, when he succored him there in 2 Samuel chapter 21 verses 16 and 17. And it goes on to say that the people there of God, they most likely desired of David that he would never again go into battle. And this is the time when they say He penned these words. They said never he should go in again, lest he would quench the light of Israel. Perhaps it wasn't penned on any of those occasions. But it is an expressive reflection, a devout affection of God. He had an affection towards the things of God. Affection towards the God in times of trouble and other times as well. Now David wasn't a man who just let God run on. Run away from God himself. But as a man after God's own heart. We find David here comes to God in a time of trouble. And this should be a reminder for you and I that when we come to a time of trouble, we come into a time of testing, we would learn to evaluate the spiritual things above the physical. And if we realize that, then we would find that those physical things are sent to refine or strengthen our faith. David understood exactly what he was praying about. It says in verse 11, if you'll read it, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. David wasn't seeking that God would give him the easy road. He wasn't seeking that God would send him in the better road that he could say, well, I done this or that. David was seeking that God would plainly set out before him his pathway. Just as Ray was giving us testimony saying that God was plainly showing him his pathway to go, so David was looking for God to be his guide. That he would be guided safely. That he would be guided securely along the way. As I was preparing this passage, or this message this day, my mind was set to the words of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Says the adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I was reminded of David in times of trouble, because David had many foes. David had many people which were against him. They didn't want to hear the things of God. They didn't like the people of Israel. David had many foes. Therefore, let us know David's response to these pending conflicts that are before us. And in David's response to these pending conflicts, David got to know what the Lord is. David got to know what the Lord is. You know, this passage points us to the Savior. This passage points us to Christ. Passage to the finished work. David got to know what the Lord is. If we look in this first verse of this passage, we will find that the Lord is my light and my salvation. It says at the beginning of this verse, the Lord is my light and my salvation. What encouraging words we have before us that we can say, that he could say there, that God is his light and that God is his salvation. And if you're saved in this meeting this morning, you too can say the exact same words. God is my light. And the God of heaven is my salvation. And the psalmist begins this chapter. He gives praise unto God. He says, I want to give praise unto the Lord, who is my light and my salvation. For the Lord hath done great things, of which I surely am glad. Can we not say this morning, if we come to the house of the Lord, we come with a heart ready to receive the word of God, can we not say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When we come to this verse 1, we realize that David is not just talking about praying or praising once unto God. I heard a preacher lately saying, someone should go and when they come to a burden upon their heart, they should pray it once and leave it, never come back to it again. No, David's talking about coming back, having communion with God. And that's what God seeks of his children this morning. That you would look after, you would come to the ways of God. That you, having been saved by the grace of God, would have that continual communion with God. The easiest way for a born-again believer to fall away is to cut that communion with God. I would say there's many in this service this morning could say, if they look back at the time when they started to fall away, it was when they stopped reading the Word of God. They stopped praying before God. Stopped saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And they began to fall away from the things of God. So David is saying to us to have a communion with God. And he's giving praise and he's giving us encouragement here in this passage. And when he says here this morning that he is the light, he is my salvation. And the servant of God here is proclaiming these words to bring it to our attention clearly. That we would see that it is a personal message to you. It is a personal message to me. And surely I can truly say that this was a personal message to me when I was reading and studying for this, the Lord's Day. And it is personal because it says the Lord is my light. And the Lord is my salvation. And it brings it home to us. And you know that the Lord can be your light if you're saved. And he is your salvation. David was able to say this, thinking forward to the God of heaven, and sent the Son who was able to say, I am the light of the world. And that is a personal message to you, that we should personally take it to our attention to have that communion with God, because he is such in our life. David comes and does this boldly, proclaiming that Christ is his light. If you proclaim this morning that Christ is your light, you must acknowledge firstly that there has been darkness. You must acknowledge that there once was darkness, and we must know that when there is darkness, it is warring against the light. The darkness hates the light. And if there is darkness, there is no light. And if there is light, it takes out of the darkness. And David was saying here that there once was darkness, and I've come unto the light, and I've been redeemed from that darkness unto light. And I'm not talking about, or David's not talking about the sun. He's not talking about just having the sun, but he's talking about a greater light this morning. A greater light that David has been redeemed. A greater light that has been seen in this passage. It is the gospel light of salvation. Gospel light. In other words, salvation means to deliver you. It means to deliver you from darkness unto light. It means to deliver you in times of trial. It means to deliver you in times of troubles when come in your life. Take heart. That the light, your light, the light that's within you, and salvation will deliver you. And the revelation that is before us here this morning, that God is your light, bringing comfort and bringing joy to His people, who is our great teacher, who is our great guide, the one whom is revealed in us, and revealed in us and through us, is God. Meaning, believer, this morning, that you being enlightened, you've been enlightened by God. Praise God, the old things of the world have been passed away. And in the enlightenment, all things have become new. As we said already, the book of John tells us that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And if you believe that this morning, if you believe that Jesus is the light of the world, then you can surely say that you are the light of the world. Because the light of God is within you. Because that light which was manifest by God, sent to this world, being Christ Jesus, is within us, and that light is brought unto man. Meaning that though within the world, Jesus is the light towards you and me. Praise God. To get this properly in our minds, to say that Jesus is the light. Or as David said it, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." We should consider the difference between light. There is a light that is common towards each and every man and woman and child. That light is good for us to see. We open our eyes in the morning and there the light is. And we wake up and we're glad that it's no more in darkness, but that the light has now come unto us. But this light's much more. I'll give you an example of something else. Blind Bartimaeus was a man. He said to Jesus, he wanted to receive his sight. He wanted to see. That he wanted to have the light that would be prevalent in his life. You see, Bartimaeus was a blind man. He may have been out in the light, such outside, or he might have been gathered along with others, which he was, the scripture tells us. When he's seen Christ, he called him, "O Son of David, have mercy on me." We find that he may have been out in it. He may have received the benefits of that light, and he may have knew what that light would be. But he could not see the light. And this light does nothing for his eye. Light doesn't do anything for his eye. This man with his common eye cannot see the one true light. He sees the light that is around about us, but he cannot see the light of salvation because he has not the light within him. He can feel the effects of light. He can feel the effects of someone coming into the light and seeing them wondrously and gloriously saved. He can see what the works of God does in life, the changes that is manifest, the great works. He can see the outward appearance of the person, that they no longer do the things they used to do, that they love to turn to the Word of God and see that how Jesus Christ saved them. There is now a change in their life, and the unsaved can see such things. They can see that that light produces definite results. But if you're a person that is not in the light, you cannot give praise. You cannot say, "Look at me and see the changes in my life." Because you have none. You have not the light. But child of God, Praise God this morning. Jesus Christ, the Lord, is our light. And if He's our light, He brings you into a position that you can prove Him over and over again. For God is what He says He is. God says He's a light, and I believe it so. And by God proving that His beloved Son is the light of the world, then He says to you, believer, this morning, when the psalmist hands His word, he's saying, really saying, when he's talking about the light and salvation, he's thinking back on his hardship, thinking back on times. You know, and what we're really saying here to the believer this morning is that the Lord knows. The Lord knows all about your situation. Yes, you can find it difficult in this world. The acts of darkness are everywhere. They're trying to affect you. The eye of the sinful man and woman are trying to trip you up or catch you out on something simple. But know what the psalmist says. Not only does he say, the Lord is my light of my salvation, but he says, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? And the answer to you this morning is no one. No one. Because you're saved. Because He is the light of the world. Because He is your light and my light. Though undoubtedly, one of the greatest hurdles for anyone to overcome is the battle of fear. Fear is an awful thing. Think of a little child who walks up a dark road. I remember whenever I was younger, going to Andrew and David Stewart's house. They lived there just across Dawson Roundabout. If you walked up their driveway at night time, you were scared. Trees began to whistle. Any owls or everything else was there started to begin to hoot. And it became a scary occasion. And I'm sure Alana, now she goes up to that house, she may find scary occasions too. Just if you don't know, Alana's in going out with Andrew Stewart. But you know, people can be under the fear factor of other things. They can be under the fear factor of the darkness of this world. Under the fear. But what does God, what does the psalmist tell you this morning? Whom can you fear? And David is trying to be encouraging to you. He says here, whom shall I fear? I'm not afraid. Because God is with me. God is my light. He is the one that directs my pathway. God is my light. I think whatever David was thinking of this passage, he was thinking of times past when he was finding so many hardships. I think of the words in 1 Samuel chapter 23. You can read them with me. It says in the verse number 17, David was in a time of distress. Saul sought to kill him. The army was out to kill him. He was in hiding. And the verse 17 of this chapter 23 tells us these words. This is where Jonathan, by the way, in verse 16 tells, Jonathan comes to David. He says, and he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king of Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, that also Saul my father knoweth. And he said unto him the words, fear not. I am sure David had his mindset cast back into occasions such as this one. When he said, when Jonathan came into him and said, fear not. See, David knew what there was to fear. But he heard encouraging words from Jonathan, the one whom he loved. And we find here that David considered these encouraging words. And he comes to the people in chapter 27. He says, fear not. And believer, God knows your situations you're going through. God knows the needs that you have. God knows what you need today. He is your light. He is your salvation. And that is, and God's, and you know, Jonathan, when he went to David, Jonathan was the king's son. Who do we go to? It's far greater than the king's son we had in because Samuel 1 Samuel 23, we come to the King's Son, the King of Kings. God in His glory sent His Son to this world to die on the cross of Calvary. And when Him dying and rising again the third day, He became your sin. And He says that we must come to Him being our light and our salvation, and we must fear not. Whom shall we fear this morning? I'm reminded of those words in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. You know, we all know the second half of this verse very well. But the first part of the verse says these words: what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Whom shall we fear? What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And what a wonderful message that is, that we should fear not because we have the light of our salvation. And I want you this morning to believe, because God is your salvation. He is within you, being that light. He directs your path. And what else can be against you? Nothing, because God before us, who can be against us? Though we live in this dark and dying world, we can look to the light of our salvation. And we can look to Him that will carry us through. Then we should cry out to God: God, I cannot walk without Thee. Cannot walk without Thee. So take heart. Whom shall we fear? Whom shall I fear? Because no matter the text, we can have confidence in God. For God is our unshakable foundation. And we need to draw near to the light that is within us. Let us quickly move on to the second point, and no time is going. But the second point here is: the Lord is the strength of my life. At verse 1, the Lord is my light of my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? And in this passage of this verse of Scripture, we point to David being sold out for God. He has got his hope in nothing else but God. And David is bringing praise unto the Lord for what God means to him. And he was praising God because of His strength. He was praising God because God is mighty. He was praising God for all things, saying, there's none like Thee, O God. No one else can be found here in this passage that David decides to praise. No one else does David take up his mind and say, I must praise those. But he comes to the Lord and gives praise unto God, just as we should do this morning. We should lift up our hearts unto the Lord and say, praise be to the Lord for His almighty strength and guiding hand and keeping power upon your life. Surely we can acknowledge in our weakness that we need to praise Him for the strength which He gives. You know, there's times when you get up and you find it weary. Find it difficult to read and pray. I remember someone telling me that they find the most difficult times is going to the prayer meeting and praying there. Once you get there, you get the blessing. You get the strength from God and you enjoy that. That meeting is one of the best meetings you enjoy, because the Lord is with you, being your strength and being your very guide. Didn't David need God in other times? Didn't David need the strength of God when he met that giant of Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17? Didn't he need God to move upon him? Didn't he need God to step in? What did David say in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45? He talked to Goliath. Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God. Hosts. He comes to Him in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that was where David found his strength. That's where David found that he could go and he could slay that great giant of Goliath. God directed that stone to that very point where it needed to bring that giant to his knees. And so God gives us the strength that He brings us to our knees. And that's where we need to be at, really. We need to be on our knees praying unto God. God would give us the strength even to get down on our knees, to come to the prayer meeting, to rejoice in the Lord. And you know, you'll probably never come up against a Goliath in your life. Not one that big anyway. But you'll come to many Goliaths on this old world. And you'll be looking to overcome them. And ladies and gentlemen and young people, do not try to overcome them on ourselves and in your own strength, but to rely on God. Why do I say that? Because we're human beings. human nature, when we come into trouble, is to contact someone else and say, here, can you help me in this out here? When all else fails, we come to God and say, God, I'm weak. I've tried everywhere else. Now I'm coming to you. Where it should have been, we said, well, the Lord is my strength. The strength of my life. And we should have been coming on to God. And may we this morning get our eyes, our gaze off other things, and get our eyes and gaze fixed on Christ Jesus. For He is the life, He is the strength, and He is the one that is keeping hand upon us in our times of strife and hardship, and helps us and gives us our salvation. You know, there is a little children's song which every child in here, an adult, will know. It says, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak. Why? For He is strong. Why not rely on God this morning? As the psalmist tells us that He is the light of our salvation. He tells us that we should, He is our strength, the strength of His life. Why don't we come unto God saying, yes, Jesus loves me, so He is my strength. For we are weak in our lives, we are weak in our daily duties, and the enemy, that is the old devil, the adversary, he tries to overcome, but we have the strength of God that we need requirement. We need Him in all things, and we have the strength of God in service. Look at verse 2. What does it say? When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. They stumbled and fell. Because God was his strength. Because God was his strength. And God gives strength to those that love him. And the enemy, though he may have power, but God is all powerful. And he can be triumphant. And we can be more than conquerors this morning. We can be triumphant in Christ Jesus. So how can we believe that God is our strength? Because the Bible tells us so. I believe it. That's enough for me. Is it enough for you this morning? Is it enough? For believer, God saw your heart. God looked upon you and saw that you were a sinner. God in His mercy saved you. Through His precious word, you realized that you were a sinner. Through His precious word, you realized that you were not saved. Through His precious word, you realized that there was a way to come to Christ. And you this morning, having been saved, you are now a child of God. Therefore, we should listen to the word of God. For He is our strength, our security. In whom shall we fear? You have two choices this morning. You have two choices. Believe the worth of the scripture. Believe the worth of God's word. Or believe not. Consider it to be worthless. I pray that you would believe earnestly the worth of God's word. That in those times when you begin to stumble, when you feel it hard to resist those things of the world and it's tempting you, may you rest in the strength of the Savior. In that time when you're beginning to fall, may you cling on to Him. Like Peter did when he cried, save me. May you call, grab onto Him, cling onto Him, that you'll go a little farther. For as verse 2 tells us, the wicked, the ungodly hate those that are in the light. They hate the things of God. And man's conclusion is his nature. And that man's conclusion brings him to the state where he is in wickedness, where he has malice. And where there is cruelty to the things of God. And they're like wolves today. The unsaved are like wolves. Not holding back. Christianity is being attacked today. True Christianity, I must add that. Sinful acts are being publicized. Sinful acts are being promoted in every corner. And they're happy to do them out in public today. People of God are being scrutinized in every corner. There's no one for God. But the Lord is your strength. Let me quickly look at verse number 3 here. It is, the Lord is my heart. Though that host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I'm just going to give you a few points in this. I'm closing up because of time. Lord is my heart. No matter what, child of God, this morning, Praise God. You can do as David did here. Sought God. Sought after God. Even though the army was fighting against him, Saul was coming against him at one stage, he had confidence in God. He brought a bold statement. He says, though they should have camped against me, my heart shall not fear. So don't do what that minister said. Pray once and leave it and never come back to it. Have many days of praise unto God. Have many days of communion. Put on the armour of God. Ephesians 6 tells us to put on the armour of God. It's in the verse 10 to the verse 20. Put on the armour of God. Seek the armour bearer's guide. We would have the right armour for every day. Seek after him. Exercise the faith of God. Live boldly. Live boldly for the Lord. Have the determination of the speaker of this psalm. Be bold in the faith. Follow the Lord Jesus. Stand firm. Stand firm against the wiles of the old devil. And your heart will not fail, because God is with you. What a wonderful message. And then you can be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. What confidence we can have. What confidence. Confidence brings us to the victory side. The Lord is your strength, your salvation, and your safety. Trust in him. Seek after him. This new year we have, 2014, seek God. Praise God. I know the work's not easy. I was told one time the work's not easy. It's not simple, but it's great to be in the work. That kind of sums it up. It's not an easy work to be in. It's not simple. I love the work. It's great to be in the work. May that be the heart of each and every one of us. We have confidence in God. I'm going to read just one verse of Scripture, and we'll close because of time. It is in the chapter 28 and the verse number 7. We look away from the temporal things of this world. Look unto God. It says these words. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him. Amen. And the Lord will bless to our hearts this morning. Let's just pray before the Lord and close the meeting.